The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
All right, welcome in. It is that time again for another episode of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, always great to catch up with you, my friend. And it's official. It's the second day of October. We are getting dangerously close to the regular season.
It is. You'd think the weather would change, but it's not. We're still in the 80s, which I'm good with that. But
for a moment.
For a moment.
Might get some changes coming up.
It changes soon, right? Yeah. But the calendar is flipped to October. And as you said, Brady, it's the second day of October right now. But it's also today the eighth day of official practice for the Bears, which actually is the 48th practice for the Bears. When you count the summer, we actually had 20 summer workouts, 10 foreign practices, got us to 30, and we only did 10 fall workouts. But before we got to official practice here, which I think started September 22nd for us, if I remember right, it's the 48th time we've been together on the court. That's a lot of practice, but you need that, right, with these new teams and stuff. So it's not like the old school days. You know, the eighth of practice is like the eighth practice. It's not the eighth practice, but hey, it is what it is.
Do you guys get to that point where that much time together, plus the extra time with the trip over the summer too, where you're just chomping at the bit? You're looking at October 18th, that scrimmage coming up against Wyoming. I mean, are you just at that point where guys are like, okay, we're tired of going at each other every single day?
You know, we try to be intentional to kind of break up the grind and the monotony of it by just doing some different things. One thing we do a lot of, which I really love, especially in the summertime, is do a lot of scrimmaging. These guys want to play, right? So we do a lot of scrimmaging in the summertime, and we've started doing that a little bit more again. And the idea in the summertime, going back to it, it's like you have four short workouts because you only have 4 hours of what's called CARA in the summertime per week. So we do like a short practice and then a skill day and then a practice day and then a scrimmage day. And we utilize those scrimmages to stat, to chart, to grade, to do our little winning-losing formula, and really teach the guys from day one how you're going to get on the court, how you're going to separate yourself, even though, like, there's no system in yet, like, the big picture stuff, the rebound effort, the scout mistakes, the winning plays, we're on that right away. And so, you know, you do that stuff, and then we had those three games in Lisbon, Portugal, which is great, you know, foreign trip games, they don't count or anything, but so you got to find ways to break up, again, the monotony of it and the grind of it, while still working through things. So yeah, we play Wyoming on the 18th. So that's just over 2 weeks away. Now we have a secret scrimmage, a closed scrimmage, which I can't reveal on the podcast, which is next week though. So like if you looked at any Division I calendar schedule, you would see two public exhibitions, games, whatever it is. Like for instance, Wyoming has us and they have the College of Idaho. So if you don't see two on a Division I team schedule, you only see one because we have Wyoming. We're utilizing. There's only two opportunities you can use, and if you don't see it on there, it's because you're scrimmaging somebody. I got my air quotes up. You're scrimmaging somebody, which is a closed secret scrimmage, not open to the public, no stats recorded, things like that. But we do have one of those next week. So actually, you know, as we're sitting here on October 2nd, next Wednesday, we have a secret scrimmage. Which again, that breaks up the monotony. We get to play somebody, not in front of fans or anything, but then, so you get that next week, and then you got Wyoming the week after that. And I'm sure we can talk about that. And then after that, we have our in-house intra-squad roll call scrimmage, October 23rd. So we do have three opportunities for our guys to compete, with real refs. You know, in one of those situations with the Wyoming game with a real fan base, you know, crowd. And then that roll call scrimmage, which we'll get to as well, we will have some of our fans. I think you'll be there as well.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing for the community. It's a great thing to try to raise some money and get a free meal and give back. But it's also great for our guys to play in front of. It'll be no more than 100 people there probably, which is perfectly fine. But it's still people there and the nerves and the excitement. So you're trying to find intentional ways to get your guys in front of people and being refereed before the real game started, November 3rd.
Is that roll call, and I love it. I've gone the last few years. It's an honor to go out
there. Yeah.
Is that something that's open to, is it donors or, because you kind of got to keep that somewhat
tight,
right?
We clarify that. And what we do is we started to do a little email push and a little text message push. And I know you got one of those text messages. But what it is it's open to our supporters. It not just open to some, people that just show up, and that's we need all that when we get to the games. But it's a give back, and the reason why is that we provide a free meal afterwards. So we need a head count. We need an RSVP. The last thing we want to do is have this event and a bunch of people show up we don't know about, and we don't have enough food. That's all bad, right? So you got to be smarter than intentional. So, but what it is season ticket holders. It's alums, it's round ball donors, it's corporate sponsors. I mean, there's a million people that help our program out. So the idea is to give back to all those people, including yourself, in a atmosphere where you get a sneak peek of the guys playing. You know, it used to be blue and gold, but now our practice jerseys are blue and white. So it's blue versus white, right? In a not a full game, but, we usually go like, 2 12s. So about 22, 24 minutes of live action with the refs. From 5:30 to 6:30, and then after that at 6:30, walk right on down. We got the table set up, have a meal with everybody. Our guys go clean up real quick, and then I give a little State of the Union, talk about the program, introduce the team, that type of stuff. I think it's great for the community. I think it's really, really good. So, but for our guys, it's good because they get to interact with some of our people that really support us, but they also got to play in front of them. And I think anytime you can get in front of live people, it helps the transition to your first game, November 3rd. I don't want our first game to be our first game.
Well, and you guys, you do such a great job with this, too. I love the format of it. You actually get the microphone in between sessions during the game and talk to the crowd and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We had this group going up against this group last time. We're going to change it up. I want to see some different combinations here. And then after, the round table thing is really cool.
It's cool.
You have
it's
a really player good. Sitting down at one table.
Yes.
And then you can go around. People can sit down and just get to know the guys. Yep. And it's amazing. Because that's tough. I mean, these young players, sometimes it's tough because you're talking to a lot of big, big business owners and people in the community, too. And I just think it's so great. It really connects the fans and the donors, people that support this program.
Yeah, you have 16 players and then, coaches and staff, so let's add another 5 or 6, and so maybe 21, 22 of us that we space off into 21, 22 tables. There's only one coach or player per table. And so they're all name tagged out where they know you got to sit at this table. And then everyone else, it's a free-for-all. Sit at the table with the player or the coach. You get to know them. Relationships get built. We just had a thing. If you look at President Feinstein's Twitter, and we put it out on our own socials too. We had a big event at President Feinstein's house 2 nights ago, and it was for our highest level round ball donors. Right, had to be at a certain level to have this benefit this experience. But when you look at it, in that picture, there's several people that. Similar idea. We don't play or anything. We just go to President Feinstein's house. I give a State of the Union for that group, and then we break some bread. We eat. Well, you might be standing at a table tell our guys when you go eat, hey, you're not eating together. It's cool. You didn't have to be one like only one of you, but like two or three of you go. Hey, go stand. You can see on the picture. You can go stand that. Go hang out with Dick Monfort, owner of the Rockies. Yeah. Go hang out with Sean Ostoff, president of Bank Colorado. Go hang out with Ryan Hicks. Go hang out with Burroughs. Go hang out with Mendenhall. Except, like all these people that are. There's so many of them that are titans in our community business-wise, too. Get to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
They not only do they support you, but they can help you as you eventually graduate, from here and are getting into the real world. So, yeah, it's awesome. We want that connection. We think it's vital.
Well, and it's interesting, too. You have so many players that once their college career is done, they are going overseas. They are playing. Oh, yeah. You got so many guys playing professional basketball.
15 pros.
I almost feel like every year your entire roster is turning over and going overseas and playing. But for those that don't, or when they come, if they choose to come back, they've really established. I mean, there's some former Bears here that are great community leaders. So it's one of those things too that's really big.
Yeah, you look at the guys like in the community now, like. Somewhat recent, that didn't have the opportunity to coach him. Like a guy like Neil Kingman, right? Yep. Who's at the Bank Colorado now, and And you look at it and it's like now we got Brock Wisney, who's a business major, and he's working on an internship and he's doing these interviews right now to get his internship because he's going to graduate this year and he's going to be a pro. He's going to go play pro. But when it's done, getting the opportunity to come back if he wants,
yeah,
he's going to have those connections and relationships that are not transactional. They're real true friendships with people that can really help out here.
Well, and speaking of Brock Wisney too, Coach, I'm meeting with him tomorrow. We're finalizing something. We've got the Brock Wisney show.
The B Wisney show.
Coming to KFKA.
Yeah, man. He's chomping at the bit. He's pumped.
I can't wait for this. I love it. So, and again, our great friend, you mentioned him, but Shane Mendenhall with Interior Sprinkler Solutions. I mean, the systems, they're just phenomenal. They're huge supporters of you guys. And I'm excited to hear from Brock every single week.
Shane and Jamie and you know, the Mendenhalls and everyone that works at ISS, they've helped us in so many ways. And again, it's you start to develop those relationships years and years and years earlier, and it just starts to build. And like they're family, you know. And so for them helping out, you know, with the show and this and that, it's just great. But I actually got an ISS hat. And I wasn't like they donated some hats to the whole program. They're cool, man. They got these nice hats and stuff. So, yeah, I just, you know, the Brock, you know, as an example, he's a perfect example of, and he's been here 4 years now, right? Like a Bear through and through. He's been here the whole time. He's developing relationships. He's connecting himself to opportunities that when he does get done playing, if he wants, he's from Colorado. Sister lives in Fort Collins. Parents live on the north side of Denver. Like if he wants to come back, he could have an awesome situation to start a life out here.
Yeah. Well, and I've really enjoyed this too, Coach, getting the shows. I mean, we've had several players. I think we started with Bodie Hume. I think that was the first guy. But we've had some great players.
Yeah,
Dalen Kuntz was there.
Dalen
was interesting because Dalen was a pretty shy dude.
Oh, yeah.
Not on the court, but in like person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he started to open up as the show went on. Jaron was easy to talk to. That was a lot of fun last year.
Yeah, like Dalen. And he's playing in France now. Cholet, which is one of the top teams in the French league, which is amazing. And not only your show, but then he had an ad for Butters.
Mm.
You know, local business here, and it was this, and he just went out and he loved eating breakfast at Butters. So he talked to their management. This is when NIL started, just very infancy, and he got himself a deal. I think it was like get some free breakfast burritos for doing some ads. But I heard on the radio that Dalen promoting Butters, and like just the going from very shy and introverted to being able to get on a you know, a podcast or a radio and promote. It just was cool, man. It's like that's what this college thing is supposed to be about, right? Just growing as a human being.
It's my favorite part about – because, again, the NIL can have obviously a lot of issues when you look nationally. What's going on? Guys are just getting money to go places. But what we've loved with our side of it is like they're committing to a time.
Yep.
They're going to come in every week. Maybe they're on the phone, but they're here. They're recording ads.
Yeah.
They're doing that stuff. They're responsible. And it's – I think, you know, it gets them thinking. They're promoting their school. They're promoting their team.
Absolutely.
And it's a very positive. I'm never putting them in a position where I'm like, hey, Coach Smiley called that timeout at a weird time.
Well,
you know, no, it's never one of those things.
Right.
It's all positive things about the program. But also some in-depth basketball stuff from guys that we're watching as fans, seeing these dudes go at each other. And then to hear them talk about that every day is really fun.
They're super smart, man. Like, you know, and they've been in the program. And when guys get an opportunity to kind of work with you, they've been in the program, you know, 2, 3, 4 years most of the time. So they really know what they're talking about. They know the system. They know how we want to play. And so I think that helps out as well. But, yeah, the NIL thing, too, is there can be so many positive things out of it, right? Like, you know, there's multiple of our players that have a partnership with Ames Community College right now. And it's so cool because we want to continue to connect Ames. We have this Ames to UNC partnership anyways. Students that can go to Ames, get their two-year deal, and then they can take that and they can go to UNC and it can just segue right in. And so you're building this pathway. We want those connections with our community as well. And so to see our players working with Ames on that side and promoting the brand, I think it's just cool. So there's a lot of positives too.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, getting your guys out and about – you guys have done such a great job of that over the years, too. Just promoting yourself to the students, to the community. I've just seen an uptick in that the last 4 or 5 years.
And we got to do it. We got to keep doing it. You know, I think it's, you know, old school marketing, push-pull, right? Like some brands, people just show up because that's what they do. If you're at Duke, and they're going to win every year anyways, but if you're at Duke, you know you're going to have the Cameron crazies. We have to be very proactive and very intentional. In-house, you know, in terms of with our students and even like our employees, our faculty and staff, but then out of house as well, right, with our community, with people in Greeley, Northern Colorado, because we want those relationships. I think it just – it benefits. It gets more excitement. It gets more people in the stands. There's more energy in the gym. Got a better home court atmosphere. You win. People get excited, you know. And so
yeah.
I think like our home record in the last 2 years is like 21-5 or something like that.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And so like to have success and feel like, hey, every time we walk in a court, we should win. It's not just us. It's having that community backing.
October 18th, we've talked about it.
It's coming up.
The scrimmage against Wyoming. What are the conversations like? Because I got to get to some other big stuff too, Coach. If we can talk about it, but with
sure.
that has a connection with the Smiley name and Wyoming too. But first off, those conversations between you and Sundance, do we shut them off? I mean, how competitive are we getting?
It's you know, and it's the other thing you're alluding to, Young Madden.
Yes.
He's committed to the Pokes.
Oh, Coach, I'm so pumped about this.
It's awesome. It's a 2-year odyssey for him. And you know, you look at his thing and, you know, everyone's, why is he not playing for you? That was never on the table. We wanted him to kind of spread his wings, and so did he. And so, but he's been, you know, legitimately recruited for 2 years. I mean, he ended up having like 8-9 Division I offers. And so, you know, with Wyoming, they did a great job the entire time through. They were so thorough, so consistent. And then, you know, luckily myself and my wife, Nikki, we had a chance to be – and Avery went to that one too, our daughter, to go on those visits. One, for professional development. I was seeing, hey, how are these guys trying to sell a kid, right?
Yep.
But they just did such a great job up there. So that's really exciting. The game itself, that was born, that idea, on a totally different deal. And – you know, Sonny and I, you know, played college together, best friends, all that kind of stuff. But we both are a little nutty in the sense of like, hey, let's try something new. Let's try something new. So the rule changed where you could have – it was extremely hard to have Division I exhibition games. There – a few years ago after COVID, or I think there was a hurricane game where you could – like we played CSU in an exhibition game years ago when Jeff Linder was here. And it was a hurricane relief game. And the proceeds had to go to, you know, whatever it was. And then you could – maybe get a waiver to do it, but it was really hard. Well, the rules have changed. You can play these games now. So I believe, like, for instance, I believe CSU is going – I think they're going to Creighton or something. There's an exhibition – it's an exhibition game.
Yeah.
So you're going to see more and more and more of these games because now people need more games to raise more money for revenue, right? So with Sonny, it's like, hey, we never want to play each other in a real game. We usually would scrimmage them anyways. Every year, secret scrimmages, we'd go to Laramie. And we'd secret scrimmage them. And we'd go up the night before and stay in a hotel, and they'd help us with the cost. And then we'd scrimmage them in the morning and get some great stuff on film, expose us, expose them, drive back. It's an hour and a half drive. And we'd be back in our own houses by 5 o'clock. What a great opportunity. So we're talking about this year, and we're like, hey, let's transition this into an exhibition game. Why not? Like, let's get some fans there. And so we talked about it. And then – so Sonny's from Gillette, Wyoming. So just so – this game is not in Laramie. This game is in Gillette. Why Gillette? A couple things. One, he's from there. So the way Wyoming works is that there's only one not even Division I, there's only one 4-year school in the state. And there's all these big JUCOs, right? So everyone supports the Cowboys all across the state. It's not like Greeley's Northern Colorado and Fort Collins is CSU and Denver's DU. But there's only one school. So the whole state loves Wyoming.
Yeah.
Okay. So they do a bunch of, you know, connections. They call it the Cowboy Joe Club. They connect to all these different cities all across state. So his idea is if I can get the game in Gillette, it will really be exciting. And he's from Gillette, so he's got connections to get sponsors and to get some people backing this thing. So that starts it. Then it's like, where are you going to play? Well, Gillette College has one of the nicest junior college arenas in the country. It's awesome. It's called the Pronghorn Center. So now that place holds about 1,700 people. Not 7,000. It's going to be hard to fill up a 7,000, but 1,700, I'm assuming we could pack that.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I bet we can pack this thing. Sonny told me 2 days ago, the first day the tickets opened up last week, 400 plus tickets sold in the first day. So 25% sold out immediately. So, and it's like $20 a pop or what, because we're both raising money to make some money on this, and it's going to be a great thing for both programs. So I look at it like this. It's a great opportunity. Get to play a Division I game that doesn't count, right, against a Mountain West team. What a great opportunity. Then two, it's the same idea as South Dakota State and Rapid City last year. It's a neutral game.
Yeah.
They don't play in Gillette. We don't. So it is a neutral court. We're both have to get there the night before, get used to it. It's a neutral court. That is a fact. It will not be a neutral atmosphere.
Right.
it will be brown and gold all over the place with maybe, you know, a couple, you know, blue and golds out there for the Bears. But, I mean, it's a six-hour drive, so it's not like a bunch of our people are going to go up there. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, we'd love to have you up there, by the way. But, but it's the same idea that, okay, if we get to the championship in Boise, I'm talking about the Big Sky Championship. It's a neutral court. It's not going to be a neutral environment for the Bears. It never is because you're going to play, you know, maybe one of the two Montanas, which 4 years ago was Montana State in the championship. They had thousands of Bobcat fans there. Neutral court, not a neutral atmosphere. Last year, we got to the championship, played Montana. Neutral court, not a neutral atmosphere. Maybe it's Idaho. Maybe it's Idaho State. Last time I checked, Boise is in the state of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Idaho would bring their fans for Idaho State, Idaho. So you have so many opportunities to not have anywhere near a local neutral type of fan attendance, right? Maybe if you play Portland State or Sac State, because those people got to fly in just like ours. But all these – Weber State, it's just drive up the road. So the odds are if you get to the championship in the Big Sky, it is a neutral court but not a neutral atmosphere. So why not in October go play a neutral court where everyone's cheering for the other team? That's what we're going to feel in March if we can get that far. So let's embrace it. Let's embrace that. And so I love the idea of that. And that's what happened. The reason we agreed to play South Dakota State and Rapid City last year, we didn't have to play that game. But it's like, hey, neutral court, they're from Brookings. They've never played in this awesome arena, nor have we. It was awesome. But there was blue and gold, literally like almost sold out 5,000 people in that thing. It was not UNC blue. It was Jackrabbit blue.
Yeah.
And so we're walking in like, whoa. But I knew it would be like that, and we actually won that game. I thought it gave us a big advantage as we went to Boise to play in that tournament. So that's the idea.
Oh, I'm excited for that, Coach. Do you look at this and think, is this something that could be a yearly thing? Like you build an event around this? And then it would be interesting because then you would be coaching against Madden, which would be interesting at some point.
I don't know if we can, you know, what I do know is this. We're building our schedule for next year. We have every intention of having at least one Division I exhibition game, no doubt about it, and probably going on the road for that thing. So, you know, maybe it's, you know, can we play CSU maybe as an exhibition game, right? Because I think that would draw great no matter what. You know, now all year, I mean, every time we've played at CSU and when they did play here, great crowds. So I do think if you got a chance to play a CSU or maybe even a CU, who knows, right? Like can you create it where it's an exhibition game where it makes sense for both teams? You can both maybe generate some money off of it in your contract negotiations because I want to make some money on this stuff too because there's obviously bills to pay. There's bills to pay with our budget. There's bills to pay with this new rev sharing thing. There's just – you got to get creative. So one of the ways to get creative is play another money game, right? Play an exhibition game and try to make some money off it. So for us, that means we got to go on the road.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's Wyoming. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's Wyoming. Maybe it's – and I think the thing that Sonny did a great job is say, hey, let's not play this in Laramie. Because, yeah, we'll get crowd, but, like, let's do this somewhere else. Let's get, like – let's get outside the box. And then Gillette, it just – it's perfect. So maybe we get the opportunity to do that again. Maybe they keep doing it and then, you know, next year they go to Sheridan. They go to – I don't know. But – It's certainly not off the table. Potentially keep it going. Who knows?
Coach, can you take us into the Madden Wyoming, you know, experience?
Yeah.
Because when I saw that, you and I talked about this weeks ago. It was the top two, Colgate and Wyoming.
Yep.
And, you know, you were kind of like torn because you're like, man, I'm at one end. It's Wyoming. It's Mountain West. Great conference. It's sunny. And it's close.
Yeah.
Colgate, kind of a different story there. So first off, how thrilled were you when Madden makes – which I know the whole family's sitting down. You guys are talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
But how thrilled were you when that decision was made?
You know, and then like the Colgate, so it was the final two. And Colgate, so we went to Wyoming, then we went to Colgate after that. And it was awesome. It was really cool. I didn't know what to expect. And those guys did a really good job too. And Hamilton, New York is in the middle of nowhere, which we knew. But it was great because you fly into Syracuse and then their assistant coach picked us up, drove us in, and it's only like 40 minutes from Syracuse, but it's a town of like 7,000 people. It's small. And we're driving in, and Coach Trey's like, hey, you know, it's small, but we do have a McDonald's. It's like, whoa, how small is this? But it, I mean, you want to talk about like one of the premier academic institutions in the world. It was everything you thought it would be. And then you walk in their gym, and, you know, it's just March Madness. They've been to March Madness 5 of the last 6 or 7 years. And Coach Langle's been to March Madness 12 of the 24 years he's been in college basketball. That's insanity. Mm-hmm. That's winning. So, like, there's a lot of great things at both ends. And, you know, I could have seen him play or even go to school at either place. But, yeah, you know, get done with it, take a day. And at that point, I think it crystallized what he wanted to do, and he wanted to go to Wyoming. And, you know, I think that, again, just going through the process, their staff was just they worked hard. They didn't take anything for granted. They worked hard at it. His visit was great. You know, the kids that he was around, that, you know, in terms of the players, really good dudes. I love what they're building. It's funny because last year, Sonny got that job really late, and they had this really big, really slow team, which was concerning to me in a sense of just, in, you know, is that the right fit for Matt? And so, like, he has a famous quote, they played Air Force or something with Joe Scott, and that Princeton offense, those dudes play slow, right? Mm-hmm. And Sonny's like, hey, they play so slow. He's like, I admire those guys. We want to play slower than them. This was last year. Like, oof. I'm like, I don't know if that's the right fit for Matt, right?
Because you're all about speed, that hot, nasty
and
speed,
so,
man.
What was cool is to watch them practice. You know, obviously they had all these guys, portal, this, that. They have 13 new players. And so this is his first cycle to kind of play it the way he wants to play it. And they're playing way different, way faster, a lot more like how we would want to play too. And so being able for me to watch them practice and how they want to play and seeing how the roster's built and constructed, and they're actually a lot smaller this year. And to see, like, okay, this could really fit with what his skill set is. And so it made sense from a basketball standpoint too. That's really important. Like, do you fit into whatever team you're – do you fit? And so I thought that was good for him as well. And, yeah, I mean, whether it was, you know, the time with the coaches and the dinners and the, you know, the one-on-ones with Sonny and that type of stuff, or just the time with the players – you know, we went to the football game. They played Utah that night. That was 27,000 people, that Utah game. And it was 3-0 at halftime. And Wyoming was chasing them, man. Yeah. They couldn't burst through. And in the at halftime, we all went to eat with the staff. But the players and Matt, and they stayed back. He wanted to hang out with the players, which is great. Like, that's who you're going to be with. So, you know, he really enjoyed his time with those guys. And they did a great job just making him feel welcome. And he's just pumped up.
You mentioned earlier talking about this, because when we've had it, people have asked the question, you know, why not UNC? Mm-hmm. You know, what, take us through that side of things.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's like three or four little rivers that converge into this big river, right? And it's like, okay, I don't know how to rank him, but one is he's the rare college coach's kid that has lived in the same place for the majority of his life. We've been here for 10 years.
Yeah.
Most college kids bounce on a place, so they're just used to change. Well, he hasn't had change, and that's been a good, healthy thing for him and for Avery, my daughter. But I do think from like a, hey, man, I've been in Greeley the last 10 years. I want to go see something different, right? So that's a small part of it. I think a part of it is that he wants to be one of the boys. And so – and I've been a coach's kid. My dad was my high school coach. And so there's some great things to it, but there's some hard things. It's really easy to be a coach's kid if you're immediately the best player or you're the worst player. It's easy. I don't think any freshman's walking into any program right now in college basketball and saying, unless it's you know, DeBonce at BYU, but saying, hey, that dude is the best player on the team. I mean, last year, the top five teams in the Big Sky, not one true freshman played 1 minute. So you're going to walk in. Everyone up here thinks you're really good, and you are. But you're probably not going to be the best player right away, right? That's just what the math says, because everyone's so old now. We've got guys 22, 23, 24 years old. You're 18, 19, right? So now, and you're not the worst player. The dude can play. So if you're not the best, you're not the worst, you're somewhere in the middle. That's where this thing, gets really hard. Because in that locker room, if you play over, you know, player B, C, D, and that's like, coach is playing because it's a coach's kid. That might not be the situation, but you're in the middle somewhere, right? And so I think that's really hard, and he wants to be one of the – he doesn't want to be in the locker room. All, you know, man, Coach Smiley's crazy today, this, that, whatever, man. Yeah. Screw
that's
coach.
That's tough.
And they're looking at you like, what's your response? I don't think he wants to be in it. He wants to be one of the boys. So I understand that. And I think, too, like, I always hoped he was clearly not good enough or clearly too good. Mm. And to be clear, we have a lot of players on our team that are – in theory, too good. That's why we're good, right? Like, we got these guys that, going back to it, Dalen Kuntz went to CU before we got him here, right? You look at how Dalton finished. He was clearly above this league when the next year he was the SEC Player of the Year. So there's a lot of guys in-house. I don't want to say that he's too good for our team, but from a recruiting evaluation standpoint, as he went through it, it was clear as day to me, at least, that this dude is a Mountain West this new Pac-12. He's that level dude. And so if he does just, well, he's just going to go play for dad, in some ways I'm also holding him back in the sense of like he's good enough to play at that level. I truly believe that. And again, we have a lot of players like that. But as he's looking at it saying, man, I feel like I can play at this. I feel like I can play Mountain West, Pac-12, mid-major plus. Maybe like there's a version of him that I think he could be a high major player. I mean, he was getting recruited by some really, really high-level teams.
Yeah, sure.
And so to throw all that away just to go play for dad because that's what you're supposed to do, I didn't feel good about that either. So, and we're so close as well, just from a father-son perspective. I could have handled it.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I know this, man. Like when he plays and when my daughter plays volleyball and stuff, I don't even really watch the game. I just watch them.
Yeah.
So I would have had to really been intentional in practice and in games to not just watch my son. I can't screw up. It's a whole team, right? It's not just about him. So I think all those things aside is that, hey, let that birdie fly. He's earned it. He's excited about it. Obviously, if he came and said, Dad, I want to play for you. This is what I want to do. I would have taken him.
You'd find a way.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But it made sense. My wife was concerned about it too. Just like, you know, hey, when you guys are fighting, I'm not taking sides. Like, if you know, so I think it just made sense. And again, like these things are so, you know, kind of organic now that I hope he stays in Wyoming. He has a great career for 4 or 5 years. But same point in that time, who knows, man? Like with all this stuff, with the player movement and stuff, these guys moving all over the place, it just felt right to say, hey, go chase your dream, man. Go chase your dream. And I'm going to be your biggest supporter. I'm going to be on your visits, but I'm not going to be coach. I'm going to be dad, right? And so it was fun. It was fun to be a part of it.
Well, kudos to you for recognizing that. And again, it would have been an exciting thing for anybody to be like, oh, wow, coach is going to coach his son.
It would have been awesome.
But then as you lay out all those details, you almost have to reprogram a little bit with how you're coaching because – and he would have to as well because that is a bond that players have sometimes is when coach is busting their chops,
right,
getting after him a little too much, whatever. It's nice to have that bond of, man, coach is driving me crazy today. Not that it's like a real negative thing, but that's just part of life. And Madden's like, I can't. I'm not going to do that. It's my dad. You know, I'm not going to jump into that. And then the players are suddenly like, oh, we can't say anything around him. So there are a lot of different aspects to that.
And, you know, we all only see kind of like the high-level Division I examples. And so I think like Tom Izzo's kid played for him. He was a walk-on, like probably the 14, 15. Never played, but he got in there and cheered for him, right? But then McDermott's kid, right?
Yeah.
Craig was best player in the history of Creighton. So those again – if you're the best player or you're kind of on the end of the like, – it's fine. It's great because no one's going to question McDermott saying, man, your son, he's the best player in the history of the program. He's an NBA. So, like, it can work. But it also, too, you don't see as many of the middle of the pack. Do I believe, like, if Madden came here, you know, at some point in time, could be the best? Yeah, he's that good. But, like, no freshman right now on any team is walking in and because, again, it's just too old. And if the rule changed again where these guys get 5 years to play 5 years, college basketball is going to get older again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that you put yourself in a situation where we've been here so long, everyone is Colorado Player of the Year, state champion. Their perception is like, well, he's going to walk in and dominate this league. No. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But like probably not.
It's hard to
do. You put yourself not just in the locker room but in the community too saying, well, why isn't he playing more? You know, there's questions like – hey, we've had a lot of Colorado and player of the year and this and that, and a lot of those guys still struggle when they're younger. It just takes time the way college basketball is. So I think it makes sense, and obviously like we're thrilled. There's a perfect fit out there. Perfect.
Well, and your ties to Wyoming too, even outside of Sundance. You know, you've got all these ties too.
Yeah, and you know, and you know, Madden was born in the cold. He was born in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So like that, oh, Laramie's cold. Hey, go to Aberdeen, buddy. And my daughter's born Sheridan, Wyoming. So we have a lot of ties out to that area for sure.
Yeah, well, it was exciting, and I was pumped to see that announcement on social media and everything. And I know we didn't have a show last week, so I wanted to sure we got to talk about that a little bit.
No doubt.
Because that's really exciting.
It's exciting. It's, you know, we're just so blessed as a family. And our daughter committed to Coach Oates in volleyball. So it's crazy. It's like, you know, the nest will get empty in a year and a half, right? You know, half more year for Madden and another year for Avery. But to know where both of them are going to school while she's still a junior is really wild and really surreal because a lot of kids, it's really hard to figure out where you're going to go to school. And so we just feel blessed. Like, we already know what the plan is and where they're going to be.
Yeah. I'm pumped for both.
Yeah,
for both. I mean, within the area, too. Well, and I think, too, Coach, like, The Big Sky, once you guys get into conference play, the Big Sky schedule is different than the Mountain West schedule. So there's going to be opportunities for you to pop up there and watch and play.
League play and even non-league play. I mean, it's an hour and a half drive. Like, we can make that happen,
yeah,
right? I can, you know, in theory, manipulate the schedule to move some practice around a little bit, this, that, whatever, without hurting the program. But, you know, chance to see him, you know, and that border war is still happening. So the CSU-Wyoming thing, so I get a chance to see that.
Do you see Coach Sunday's video on that? It was hilarious, by the way. He was asked about whether the border war was going to continue.
Is that when he's winking?
Starts a winking like crazy.
Dude's a character.
Oh, man.
He's a character.
He's entertaining. I was talking about him on the show the other day. I said, he sounds like you. He reminds me of you, but like a you that maybe had about 16 cups of coffee. Is that fair to say?
It's like the Oregon clip that went viral, the Dan Lanning. You know, the investigations of this guy after they beat Penn State, is this guy on, you know, cocaine or whatever? It's not to promote that, but you watch that 4-second clip and you're like, what's wrong with this dude? But like, that's kind of Sunny, right? Like the dude, yeah. I mean, and the problem with him is he is on 16 cups of coffee, and the guy is just like, you know, I mean, whatever those, you know, Red Bull. There's one thing. What are these new, like these new power?
Monster, Red Bull, yeah.
Like, hey, man, like you got to be careful with things. So, but he's that guy, right? And he lives his life like that. I at some point in time at night, he just got to crash, I guess. Like, or maybe he doesn't. He's just
a lot of, and I consider you an energetic coach.
Oh, I got some juice, yeah.
But he's like a hummingbird. They never stop.
It's great.
They never stop.
The hummingbird.
Yeah. And I imagine when he does crash, it's just like, boom. In the middle of a sentence, he's just out.
It's got to be done, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely so.
Coach, I know you got a role today, but man, this was fun. You know, get a chance to just talk about the scrimmage coming up, and I know we're going to get deeper into everything too and learn more about this roster as we go. Maybe a reset on this depth chart, kind of go through that too. But also fun kind of talking about when you open up, talk about the kiddos too. Both going to be playing relatively close.
Right,
one in Greeley, one in Wyoming. So it's fun for the family too. So I know a lot of your fans will be following their careers as well.
Absolutely. No, we're excited. Yeah, and we'll get to the depth chart. There will be a lot revealed that we don't even know yet. Really with this scrimmage next week, with what we do in house and then with this Wyoming game, no one's winning a championship if you win that game in Gillette, right? Like, but what you're trying to do is learn your roster. And even like at that roll call scrimmage after that on October 23rd, that's blue versus white. Everyone's going to get a chance to play a ton. So everyone's getting opportunities, to show what they can do to help us win games. Cause when it hits November 3rd, which I guess is now like a month away from today.
Yeah.
When it's November 3rd, it's real. Now it's real. And so we got to be in the best spot we can be in. You know, hopefully be, you know, healthy and this and that, but like the best spot we can be in to hit that ground running November 3rd. That's the goal.
Countdown is on, my friend.
It's all on, baby.
I'm excited. Been a crazy couple weeks for me, but I've been meaning, I want to get out to practice too.
Because
I got a chance in the summer, which I thought was really fun, but I'm sure this is a completely different team than the one I saw 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, it's still healthy, luckily, so that part's good. But yeah, I mean, we've gotten better. I think we've gotten better since the summer. And you know, going into like 48 opportunities, you better get better. I'm not doing my job.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Coach, looking forward to my friend. And we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, the Two-Man Game podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
The Two-Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Northern Colorado men's basketball returns to the court for the 2025 season. Be a part of the action and help the Bears defend the den. Season tickets are now on sale as the Bears defend the Big Sky Conference regular season title. Purchase tickets online by visiting uncbears.com/tickets. Remember, this is Bear Country. Go Bears!